I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Albert Breer, MMQB sound, where he says he believes Kevin Stefanski would be willing to be done with the situation in Cleveland. We'll grill him about that, see if he has any positive things to say about Shedeur Sanders. But does it feel, is this a fair way to say it right now?
Yeah.
It feels like right now the rumor mill believes, and this is not even, I don't even want to speak to reports because that gets muddied very quickly, but the rumor mill believes Kevin's gone, Andrew Berry stays. Is that fair?
I feel like that's the right read. That's been my read on it for months now, though. So, I like that everyone is on the same page because I feel like, again, it's not even like a, is that even sticking up for Andrew Berry? I just feel like the draft really helped him, and now he's in a good spot where he'd keep his job.
Yeah, I think it's tough because I think more often than not, a GM gets more than just one head coach, right? Unless, of course, they're hired by the head coach like a Mike Mayock, John Gruden situation. So it's kind of a cliche that owners will give GMs multiple head coaches and not the other way around. So the head coach is always, I don't want to say always, but traditionally the first guy to get fired, and then we'll see what the GM can do after that. So I think we're working on a generality.
Well, and somebody's riding shotgun with Jimmy Haslam.
Yeah.
And it's not Di Podesta now that he's in Colorado playing baseball once again, at least acting baseball, whatever he's doing. It's not him. And so the idea that I think right now it is Andrew Berry lines up with my thought process the entire time.
And I also think the recency bias, which you mentioned, which is the draft picks. And listen, like, coming off this last week, Shedeur looked really good. Quinshon looked really good. Carson Schlesinger, Mason Graham, Harold Fannin. Like, at some point, like, when it was early in the season, it was like, yeah, they look good, but it's early in the season. Things happen. When you're talking about this rookie class looking this good, plus Aiden Huntington, plus another couple young kids over 14 weeks of the season, it does not in any way take away the Deshaun deal, but I can understand that owners are, hey, this is in front of me right now, and this is the latest thing, so I'm going to react off that.
Yeah, I just don't look at it like it's Stefanski and Berry, and they're connected at the hip the way that we all once thought it was, let's say, I don't know, like a year and a half or so ago.
Yeah, I definitely think, I don't know if it was Shedeur like versus Dylan. I don't know if it was the Joe Flacco stuff. I mean, I think you're talking about just the way the perception of, if you're going to fire one, you have to fire both.
Well, I used to call them Bert and Ernie. They were tied at the hip. Like they were connected, and now it feels like they're not. Like Andrew Berry is done. If he does end up being the one that stays and Kevin Stefanski is gone, Andrew Berry has put on a clinic of being able to separate what people think is one thing and then moving to something else, because for the longest time they were connected. They thought partners were, and now they're not.
I also just think, like, I think it stands to reason after six seasons, the worst trade in NFL history, and, you know, two back-to-back bad seasons, that maybe Berry and Stefanski, though they might like each other, might also be a little tired of each other, too.
Certainly possible. Yeah. Now, again, this doesn't take away I would have fired him previously.
Yes. I think that's the problem, is on one hand, Listen, I don't trust Jimmy Haslam to replace one of these guys, let alone both of them. So there is some logic in just, all right, just try and get the head coach right. Can you just stop screwing that up at the very least? But, like, the problem is, if we just get to who's worse at their job, I'll still fall back on Andrew Berry despite this draft class.
I'm done with both of them. So, but like, if he ends up being the one that stays, I have less of an issue with him being the one that stays than Stefanski.
Now, this brings me to what I think is... going to be a complicated question, depending on who's here and who's not here and all that, which is who gets credit if Shador becomes the long-term starter?
Okay. As of right now, the credit is doled out as Shador is doing this in spite of everybody else. That's how I look at this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I know you wanted to like dump the credit bucket on somebody's front lawn and you want to make that a thing.
I just know that's how it's going to happen.
I can't right now, though, but I actually cannot give anybody right now, whether that's Andrew Berry, whether that's Stefanski, whether it's anybody else, as of right now, I can't do it. I'm unwilling to give off an actual reasonable amount of credit to anybody but Shador in this instance.
I think the problem is this is inevitably what happens in the NFL. And I think when this divorce comes, if it does come to fruition the way I think people think, somebody in the Browns is going to get that credit nationally as they try and move forward with Shador.
So here's what I'll say.
If Shador's the starting quarterback.
From that perspective and how the dominoes end up falling, Nick, how I think it's going to happen, one of the loudest voices in all of sports media is Stephen A. Smith. We might not agree with him. We might not like him. Whatever it is. Cleveland Sports Talk Radio, by the way.
And I think he was talking exclusively about us.
We can't confirm it, but that's the belief, right? Yeah.
He did not say Nick and Jonathan, that's but right. He also didn't say anybody else's name
either.
He kind
of did a Ross Tucker in many ways.
Yeah.
You know, of like,
he wanted to say it. You could see.
Cleveland Sports Talk Radio.
His lips were forming the first initials of both of our names at the same time.
Stephen A. has talked about it for months that he believes that it was Andrew Berry, right? Mm-hmm. That's his thinking on it, and again, he's got a lot of different sources himself and everything else. He's the only person I've heard, though, be like, it's Andrew Berry, and that's it. And we've seen a couple things that would go along with this thought process, right? We've seen him in the Carolina, the preseason game. It looked like there was nobody happier in the world for Shador Sanders in that moment than Andrew Berry. We've seen him even after this last, in the most recent game. Like it feels like when you watch Andrew Berry, that is someone that is, he's got more than just, I drafted him, and I'm invested in him in the success of Shador. I've always believed it was Haslam that pulled the trigger. I've always believed it was Haslam that was the one that ultimately made the final call on that. But it's anyone between those two. I think the media doesn't want to give any credit to Haslam. I think they're going to refuse to give any credit to Haslam when it comes to that selection. So I think it's going to default to Stephen A's logic, and it's going to go to Andrew Berry.
So I think by process of elimination, we can say Kevin won't be getting the credit. Right? Is that fair?
Yeah. I mean, if this was a pie chart, we didn't even give him a Keller on the table to be like, this goes to you, Kevin.
I actually think that's what I'm kind of curious about at 520 with Albert. Is Albert going to be like, hey, you got to give Kevin credit for the way the kid played on Sunday?
So this is where they're going to get me mad. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
These people, and I've seen it out there already.
Trying to find the Stefanski spin.
Three weeks. He's done so much with his footwork. He's done so much. He wouldn't be playing. You think he'd be playing this type of game if not for the help of Stefanski? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. That's the point. Oh, you know what to get me angry. You're just getting me angry.
I'm not trying to get you angry.
You just want
to
get me riled
up. If I did, I would reference a clip from another show, and the name escapes me.
Great. I'm just your wind-up doll right now. That's fine.
I am not. I'm preparing you. This is the trust tree with the nest.
If Albert does that, all right, I got to mentally get myself ready.
Yeah, that's what I want.
If he's trying to tell me.
I don't want you to drop an F-bomb on Albert at 520 today.
That Stefanski's done some miracle wonder job in 3 weeks with Shador, I'm going to lose it. And I don't want to lose it on Albert because I'd prefer that he comes on every week. Instead of us getting so angry at him that he's like, I don't need to do this anymore.
I don't think he'll do that. I kind of think we owe him one for a couple weeks ago. It wasn't what he did on air. It was the representation of it on the MMQB podcast, which we will be playing ahead of Albert joining us at 520. Not that I'm upset about it and have been for 3 weeks at all. But so the process of Kevin, you go over here.
Yeah, just
you didn't
move
want
him
any
away.
Part of this. Even if you helped him, don't get any help.
No part of the pie chart.
I think it's Andrew Berry. Which, for everything that I just said, Andrew orchestrated, and I think he was the point man in orchestrating the worst trade in NFL history. I think Di Podesta was a part of germinating that idea. I think Kevin Stefanski went along with it, and eventually they talked Jimmy Haslam into it. I find it hard to believe that Jimmy Haslam in all as he has tried to foster this environment with the thought partners where they are big boys and they make their own decisions, I find it hard to believe Jimmy Haslam told anyone what to do with a fifth round pick. I just can't.
I mean, there was a lot of political pressure. There was a lot of political pressure at the time, and there was definitely there was a different understanding. I could totally see an area where it was Haslam that came in and done it. But I want to give Andrew Berry credit. But the only thing I've seen, like actually can physically see, is I've seen consistently Andrew Berry seem like he's not only on the side of Shador, he seems like he's constantly uplifting him, and he is like he's given me the idea that if that is true, what Stephen A. has been going along with for months is true. I won't be like, I don't believe it.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm going off of, right? And in fairness, I mean, I guess we did just have Jimmy Haslam and Deion bumping into each other at yesterday. We had the video that came out where Jimmy even did the weird, I'm going to pull on your arm thing like you do, like when you shake somebody's hand.
The thing that old rich guys do sometimes.
Yeah, I don't get that move. You can tell I come from no money because I like when I shake somebody's hand, I go in to let them know I'm a strong, I'm a real man, right?
Is that what
I don't then
the move?
Come in with like, let me cuddle with your arm.
Okay, but is that just the move you do? Instead of doing the bro hug, is that like the 82-year-old version of that?
Was that big in the 50s?
No, I just think maybe you're just older. So instead of doing like the whole, and like Deion went in for the bro hug, he got the bro hug. But instead of that, you're just like, I'm not, that's a lot of energy.
Well, you got to think about that because that's very country club.
I might break a
hip. I'll shake your hand, but I won't hug you. That kind of thing.
You know what happens if you go in for the big bro hug? You don't know what's going to happen.
He thinks it's going to turn into something more.
You could pull anything at any point at that point in life.
Literally.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
You're so close is what I mean. I think I would be inclined to give it to Andrew Berry because I think there was a time where Jimmy was a complete and absolute and total menace when it came to decisions, right? Including like the reinforcement of tanking. I'm not saying that he's a choir boy now. I'm not saying that he doesn't have any say in these decisions. But I think 6 years in, I think Berry and Stefanski both have more say, especially when it comes to the quarterback position, than anything else. And I think it's almost a cop-out not to give the GM credit for drafting one of the two quarterbacks on the roster. Oh,
so what is interesting, though, is the idea that then you would have said, all right, Stefanski, you get your pick in Dylan Gabriel. I'll take my pick in the fifth round.
And sounds
then,
about right.
But no, but then you watched as then it unfolded where Stefanski got to roll his guy out first.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty that would make sense, though, right?
Well, it would if we were traditionally working on a normal NFL setting, yes. But this has not really been normal the entire time. We've kind of, as we alluded to in the first segment of the show, the idea that Stefanski is just almost like a puppet of sorts, and they're just kind of stringing him along, and he's just kind of, yes, 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 I get it, yes, yes, yes. And if that was the case, then I would have wanted more of an advocate from Berry in that instance to be like, wake up your eyes.
I think it's more as part of the... Because I think it was a compromise. I do think they intended, they being Kevin Stefanski, intended to draft Dylan Gabriel. That was his guy. And then as the draft rolled on, I think Berry said, listen, I'll let you handle the quarterback development how you want to. You can string Shador along, but I want him on the roster.
I guess we'll find out at some point because Jimmy Haslam, I don't think he's going to be able to keep it a secret if he was, in fact, the one that pulled the trigger.
He's going to tell everyone. He's going to mention it in the press conference when he fires Kevin.
It just won't let him not do that. It won't let him just sit there and be like, no,
he wears a number 12 jersey to the press conference firing Kevin Stefanski.
I got one you can have if you want. You know, I can lend it out at least to you.
You got the Chinese eBay version. Come on. Jimmy's going to get a team-issued one. Come on. He's actually going to wear a literal Shador jersey.
I was just giving him a nice offer was all. I just didn't, he didn't have to take me up on it.
216-474-0092. If Shador becomes the full-time starter in Cleveland, who gets the credit? And teams around the NBA are monitoring your Cavaliers. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
You still have enough time and enough people trying to bootlick out there that you can go ahead and rewrite this thing if you want to.
Yeah, and I think that's so. It's funny, that was going to be my initial reaction of just how much of the idea that Kevin could be done in Cleveland is just. Because my initial reaction ended up being bye, oh no, Kevin doesn't want to be here. Please don't go, not today. Oh, it's beautiful. It's December. You'll love it in Cleveland. Keep being here. But initially it was like, wow, he just seems pissed because. Like, I don't understand why he'd be angrier now today or this week, whatever, right now, than he was coming into the season.
I'm confused. Where are you getting the anger thing from?
No, I say anger, I mean Kevin being done with the situation.
Okay, yeah, because I don't think he's angry about it, even if he's done with the situation. I think he's just, it's time to move on.
Yeah, but what?
I think there's a resignation attached to that. It's not necessarily anger. It's just the idea that he's just hit a point here where he's not going to win, and it just is what it is.
216-474-0092. We did throw out the question of who gets credit.
Did I explain that right or no?
No, I did.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
I was just going to move on to the Cavs thing.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. But who gets credit if Shador becomes the long-term starter now? There was conflicting here. I don't know who had it first or who is the originator of it. I know Chris Fedor wrote something about this. I know Sam Amico had something about this as well. But basically, it is tantamount to teams around the NBA are monitoring the Cavs.
Yeah.
With specific to like Darius Garland, just seeing like what happens here and wonders if we actually might be getting closer to a Cavs reset.
Yeah, and I don't know if it would happen this year or if it happened after the season and you see the results, but this is the conversation now. And like, are you closer to the idea of what Darius said in the offseason, how he thought that if he stayed healthy, they would have won the title? Or are you closer to what it feels like some fan sentiment is that he's just too injured of a player and you're wasting your time with Darius as a core member?
I'm probably a little bit of both. I'm in a weird spot where I think I've gone from completely like, nah, this is a big nothing burger, it's the beginning of the season, that kind of stuff, to being like, all right, a lot of the problems you have are pretty fixable. Are there bigger problems than we realize? Like when you're talking about effort and want to and playing together, like those are the most fixable problems on the planet unless they're not. Well, does that make sense?
Yeah, it does, but you can't fix Darius's toe though. That's the...
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Problem that I'm having.
I don't think Darius' toe is why they're not winning. I think you've got playmakers on the court. Donovan can playmake. Lonzo Ball can playmake. Craig Porter Jr. can playmake.
You have a lot of injuries, and the bench that used to be something isn't really something right now. I think Fedor had it the other day. It's the second least productive bench in the entire NBA. Like there are, it's a little bit different. But I do think the Darius Toe thing. I think it's a massive deal in my mind.
I don't want to say it's not a deal because I mean it has to be. He's their point guard. The offense with him on the court when he's healthy and doing well it's a different offense, right? But like in terms of the offense is meant to exist without a pure point guard, and basically because there have been moments where you take him off the court and Donovan runs the offense and you're still scoring a butt ton of points. Like I don't think the ball moving right now. I guess maybe what I'm trying to say is I think it's a gross oversimplification to say, the offense, it's about Darius's injury. I think it's a part of it. But there's a lot of finger pointing going on. I think Donovan's incredibly frustrated while also having one of his best seasons we've ever seen from him. Like, there's just something stinks in this scenario, and maybe it's just a confluence of issues, right?
Yeah.
Maybe it's Evan's the focal point of the offense and he's not the guy, or he's not ready to be the guy. Maybe it is missing the point guard. Maybe you miss Ty Jerome more than we realize. Lonzo's not healthy enough to play every night. Maybe it's just a lot of stuff. But man, at some point, there's just a moment where you would just expect them to snap out of it. It still might be a little early for it, but the basketball's just so bad. That game on Saturday was
that's kind of it,
you
right?
You can't ignore that game.
And then Fedor talking about it and how he goes into the locker rooms and can really digest this stuff. The fact that Fedor is talking about how it looked somber and it looked dejected and that's a problem. That's a problem when we're this early into the season and you have players that seem as if they're just dejected and they feel like there's no answer.
Now, I do think when you hear teams around the NBA are monitoring the Cavs, I think the rest of the NBA has waited for Kobe Altman to blink for a couple years, and I think with roster construction, because I think other teams have hardlined them. It's like, no, we're not going to give you 100% value on Darius or Evan or Jared or anybody because we don't have to, because you're the guy that needs to make the move. They've tried to pigeonhole the Cavs into a point of desperation, and the Cavs' response has been, well, then we're not going to trade one of our core
pieces.
Which
is the same response that the Guardians make, essentially.
Yeah.
You know, like they're not going to put themselves in a position to lose any of these trades. But I will be interested to see if they take calls, if they kind of shop around. I don't think they will. I think it'd be shocking if Kobe Altman was like, all right, now we wave the white flag. After the season, sure. Yeah, let's talk about it. But right now, it just doesn't seem like the right time.
Yeah, and I struggle to find, listen, it's already hard enough to make these moves at all. Now put a time limit on it at the trade deadline. I also am trying to find, like, okay, I don't think it's Darius. I don't think Darius is the odd man out. I think it's Jarrett. Like, it's always been Jarrett. And I think the second that they get the appropriate value offer for Jarrett, I don't think Jarrett will be here anymore. And that's not no discredit to him. It's just I think it's a little easy for Evan to fall back offensively or defensively on his ways, on not being the guy, when he has Jarrett to fall back on.
I agree. I think it's going to be Jarrett as well. The problem, though, is that you do have to at some point decide if Darius is just too injured of a player to move forward.
Yeah, I think the problem is if you make that decision, what are you going to get for him?
Well, and so that's where I think the report kind of suggests, like, the idea that you're going to have teams that are open to trades and all these other things. It's like, well, if they're open to it, then why are we just getting rid of what you think is already damaged goods?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, okay,
if it's good enough for these other teams, and clearly there's still a belief that he can do it at a high level.
So, like, New Orleans. New Orleans has been kind of linked to Darius Garland for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got Trey Murphy. They've got Herb Jones. They've got some interesting pieces. Here's a problem, though. One, there's only a certain number of deals you can make because of the salary cap. And two, Trey Murphy's a really nice player. I don't know he's worth truly Darius. When they're at their both, I think that's a problem. Is any guy you're going to get at his best is going to have 75% of the impact of Darius? And for a long time, I could fall back on, well, but if he's 75% of the impact, but he fits twice as well, there's some math that evens out there. I don't know anymore. Because now I don't know that Donovan and Evan's timelines. Like, well, I think we're in a weird position where I think because Evan hasn't really turned the corner yet, let's not bank on that anymore. You know, like, I think we have to stop acting like that's a certain thing. So all of a sudden, the pairing of Donovan and Evan is just an automatic, as long as you have those two guys, you're going to win a championship in the next 5 years. I no longer feel that way.
I know. It feels like it's just such a different vibe and a different mentality than what we were talking about very recently with this Cavs team. That's what a 14-11 start does to you when you're like the eighth seed right now. But it's just so different than what it was last year. It feels night and day right now.
I mean, even, and it was funny, like, people were acting like Fedor was predicting the Hindenburg disaster when he was like, it was really somber in the locker room after the, he was just saying what the mood was like.
He was reporting. That's what you're supposed to do. You go in the locker rooms and you tell people what's going on.
But I do think, like, vibes are down. And maybe this is a better way to put it. I don't know if it's simple as you need a good 3-game stretch or if you're just in a spot where, and I don't think it's that it's run its course. I think it's that you're just, it's the 7-year itch, right? Like, you've all made your sacrifices, you've all done it, and because you haven't broken through yet, there's a little bit of, we've been to this bar and we keep coming back to this bar, and we're now in our 40s, that kind of thing.
I guess. I wonder, though, if they do look at it like he's always going to deal with this toe injury right now for the rest of this season, and if they do want to capitalize on Mobley and Donovan, I would advise against it. I want Darius on this team. I don't think it's going to happen, but I do think it's interesting that and some of the teams mentioned in this, the Kings, the Raptors, the Warriors, the Timberwolves, the Nets, like there are teams out there that would show interest and could maybe take it beyond just this season for the development or really continued development of Darius.
I just don't know. What are they going to offer? You know what I mean? And also...
Right. You got to make the monies match also, and everything like that.
Cavs,
it's tough.
Do we know for a fact that the Cavs view Darius as the... I don't say the problem, but as the problem.
No, I mean, I think when Darius himself says after last season, like, hey, if I don't get injured, everything goes a little bit differently, and then he is once again injured, and then he's back dealing with these injuries, I would imagine there's some people around the Cavs that are like, man, if he could just stay healthy, this would be a different equation. But how many years can you say that?
216-474-0092. Teams are around the NBA are monitoring the Cavs. Obviously, that leads us to believe there could be teams laying in wait is what I was trying to say with the Cavaliers. Is Darius the odd man out? I think it's Jared Allen. I think that's the first domino to go. John in Cleveland, welcome to the show.
Yes, make this brief. So anyways, I think our problem is I'm a season ticket holder. I go to all the games, 62 years old, old school basketball. Nobody's crashing the boards underneath. You know, these rebounds that these guys are getting, even Dean Wade, he's a big boy. Get under and get those, go get those rebounds, offensive, defensive rebounds, to win a basketball game. We got the scoring power when we go to the hole. Okay, when the three comes, that's fine also. But nobody's underneath rebounding. We need a couple bigs under there.
So I we appreciate the call. I disagree. Well, you're right that they're not rebounding and they're not doing. To me, that's effort. Like I think the Cavs have all the size you need between Evan and Jarrett and DeAndre Jordan. DeAndre Hunter. I think you have enough size to get what you want. I think you don't have the effort. I think the offense is more of a problem because the ball isn't moving.
They're 11th in rebounds in the NBA, and they're 8th in offensive rebounds in the NBA. The rebounding isn't the issue.
I think the effort is.
Yeah,
and I think
fair.
That's what bugs the crap out of
it. Yeah, and that's fair. I get it. I mean, like, listen, when you watch these games, there's no reason why what happened on Saturday night should ever happen with this Cavs team. But this is like, it's such a stark contrast to what we went through last year, where it felt like every game was just like, all right, we're going to win tonight. It's just by how many. And I used to have this early on in the season. They'd get down in these games, and then they'd have that third quarter. The third quarter just turned into these awesome displays of just being able to erase deficits, kind of do what they did last year with the Cavalanche. And this year, they just don't have that.
So I also think the other way to kind of look at this is every year there's either been forward progress or you just like your longest like lull has been.
Well, that was their big line, right? It was always the linear growth. That's always what they were preaching for 3 straight years. We watched them talk about how they were getting better and better and the linear growth was there. And you're right. It does feel like a step backwards now.
It feels like the stereotypical 7-year itch.
But does that mean did they peak last year?
That I think that's the concern.
Like, that's the scary part. You have to be scared about that. And if, like, especially if Evan's not taking the growth that was supposed to go ahead and have every part of this just launch off, like, yeah, it's very concerning.
Is Darius the odd man out? Teams around the NBA are monitoring the Cleveland Cavaliers. We'll have more on that, more of your reaction, and the Peterlin pass in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. And basically, our pitch to Katie Pollock has been, you got to get us the exclusive with Fernando Mendoza, right?
You'd think she has an in. I mean, she's got a lot of sources around the football world.
Very well connected. And so we're just kind of following up on that. Like, you know,
in communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
No, Browns, not Browns. Let's get some Mendoza action on the show.
Yeah.
And her response was, can I be in on the interview?
Yeah, which is just, that's unprecedented. That doesn't happen.
Yeah.
That's not how this works.
And she quickly pivoted to, can I just ask one question? And I was like, well, you went from you want to be in on the interview to asking one question.
Well, then we get to vet the question, too, which is like, what's the point of even asking the question if it's been vetted all the time? Like, what is this?
All right, Katie.
Is that even fun?
She lined right up at the microphone.
I know. We waited for her to close the door, but then
you started talking about me, so I turned around and came back in. This is just a Hoosier-filled day. Listen, I wasn't here yesterday, so we didn't get to wrap it up.
They have the free Odyssey app.
Nick and Jonathan have both enticed me with trying to get an interview with Fernando Mendoza on the station.
You did that. Right.
You're not going to let you in if you keep resetting it.
Nick, Jonathan, and Katie's off to a horrible start.
The Garage Gang.
Hey, we're wacky.
With Anthony Lima.
It's like, Katie, what's your big addition? Well, I recap everything Nick said. We're good at recaps, apparently.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we have to add another addition.
I was setting the scene.
Scene's already been set.
If you are saying this and you want me to do the dirty work and you want me to use my connections, get Mendoza on the show. And, we're going to shut you out. I said, can I be part of the interview?
Shut
and they're
you
like,
out.
It's not Nick, Katie, and Jonathan. I didn't say it was Nick, Jonathan, and Katie. I just want to be part of the Mendoza interview, especially if I help get him on the station.
Who's is that Fermentos? A Fermento?
Is that what you call
Fernando.
Him? Oh, okay.
Did you imagine?
I thought there was like a nickname.
I thought you intentionally combined that. Did you just misspeak?
Yeah, I just misspoke.
Oh, okay. That's fine.
All my excitement.
Don't worry.
Misspoke.
I've heard enough national people call him Francisco Mendoza.
No,
to make
Fernando
me
Mendoza.
Francisco.
No, I just misspoke. My words got jumbled.
All right. You need to tell me the question.
I thought you were going to go, no.
That was really just my negotiation saying, can I ask one question?
Okay, it was
that
not
was
good
my
negotiations.
You started it,
I want to be in on the interview, and then you got to, can I ask one
you
question?
You do understand how weird that sounds for the listener, right? If it's like, and then here's Katie to ask a question to Fernando Mendoza.
I could just quietly be sitting here, and then I'll be like, raise my hand, and you guys could like point to me and be like, okay, it's Katie's turn.
Okay, so Nick asks, what's your question?
Oh, I don't know yet. It depends what time of year it is.
Why are you
is it going to be right now? Is it
going to
be after the hopeful national championship game? I don't know what the question is.
Do you sing Jingle Bells or Feliz Navidad? Like, what the hell?
Maybe I'm just going to ask him what bar he hangs out in Bloomington, and then we can talk about that.
Because Cleveland wants to know that.
And I don't know Bloomington bars, but I would like to know that he drinks. Right now, my impression of him is he just goes home and reads the Bible and calls it a night.
Yeah.
He's Tebow 2.0.
He is. Can you confirm, like, can we use your daughter as leverage? Can your daughter try and get in good graces with him just so we can see if he's actually kind of hip?
You're suggesting she uses her daughter to try to like date Fernando Mendoza for our interview?
Yes, but the benefit
is that the trade-off here?
She might marry an NFL starting quarterback.
Are you
so
prostituting
who's really winning
out,
here?
You're prostituting out her daughter in front of her?
I don't like the P word. All right.
Yeah.
I like to call it matchmaker.
That's the new defined term.
That's a politically correct term.
By the way, you heard him. He's not going to do anything.
No, he's not. No, actually,
he won't even go for a kiss at the end of the first date.
Try three dates.
Yeah.
He seems like a very good guy.
You gotta earn up until the kiss on the cheek.
That's true.
If you're Mendoza.
That's true.
Fernando,
it's the 15th date. Can I get a peck on the cheek? Oh, gee whiz, I don't know.
Well, consider this challenge accepted. At some point, I will do my best
daughter?
to get you an interview with him.
Jeez.
But my leverage is I will not let him be a part to the interview unless I can also be a part to the interview.
You can sit in the studio while we interview him.
You know, we heard your you did a good job with the Ohio State footballs, the finals and everything like that, but softball questions like you wouldn't believe.
That's not true.
I don't know what hard-hitting question you'd want in that scenario, for being honest.
Like, I'm going to tell you, when it's a post-game state championship and they're the winner, the first thing you always want is to get their feeling at the moment and get their emotion.
Yeah.
Are we going to get,
hey, Mendoza, how are you feeling even doing this interview with us here? Like, I don't want that.
That's a championship
game first question. Can we send you out to do the other side of this, if we send you out to do the real dirty work and ask the question of, like, something that is really going to get the headlines going and the people talking, then people will look and see it's us, but then you're the one asking the hard-hitting questions.
Oh, so you just don't want me to take any of your good questions.
That's what that would be.
This is about Nick and Jonathan.
The fun of
just
doing
so
a Mendoza interview is getting the credit off the Mendoza interview, and we are very threatened by your ability to steal that spotlight there.
I don't know what to tell you.
Hard-hitting questions.
We're
like,
a team,
what's your favorite
bar? Indiana, by the way.
We're a team. Well, how about I ask him what his feelings would be to come to the Cleveland Browns?
Again, that's wow.
Yeah, please. Yeah.
Easy Woodward
Save
and Bernstein.
Save the Marconi for us.
Easy.
Okay? Katie?
Nick?
I almost said you've been dismissed. I would not have said that. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah,
not sure for what.
Let us know what the question is.
You didn't get the interview yet.
Let us know what the question is. We'll have a conversation. What should we let Katie in on a Fernando Mendoza interview if she helps land the plane and get the interview? I don't think she's going to do it.
I don't think so either.
But I think I'm open to it because I'd like to interview Fernando Mendoza and just get where the hell his deal is. But let's get to the Peterlin Pass.
There's only one man with the knowledge to criticize and the power to let it slide. It's time for this week's Peterlin Pass.
All right, the Peterlin Pass this week goes to people mad at the College Football Playoff Committee and the setup of it all, and the idea that you're going to have Ole Miss taking on Tulane in a game that is a 17.5-point favorite by Ole Miss, and a game we've already seen, by the way, since they beat Tulane 45-10 in the regular season. Teams meeting again, and then Oregon, a 21.5-point home favorite over number 12 James Madison. Nick, it makes no sense to me. Just get the top 12 best teams deserve to be in. We shouldn't care about the group of five. The group of five doesn't matter to me in the slightest bit. And the idea that the overall odds to win the national title has James Madison at plus 40,000 and Tulane at plus 75,000 is all you need to know. No one's going to watch these games. No one's going to care about these games. And you promised me better college football games.
Yeah, here's, I would say, the problem. Most of the first round of the playoffs are non-productive anyways, are non-competitive. So why is anyone throwing a stink about who gets blown out in the first round?
I don't want to see James Madison or Tulane play football. And there's good teams that are being left out here. The Notre Dame discussion comes from the idea that
how many times get popped this year?
If we're talking top 12 teams in the nation, legitimately top 12 teams in the nation, Notre Dame should be slotted at number 11. They get, and this is not
why,
a, this
because
is not
they're
a,
Notre Dame?
This is not, a, no, because of everything that we saw with them. This is not a pro-Notre Dame rant. This is a anti-Tulane and anti-James Madison rant. These games aren't going to be competitive. We already watched Ole Miss versus Tulane happen. We don't need to watch it happen again.
Hey, Texas versus Clemson last year, blue bloods. That was a 14-point game. Ohio State
That's
versus
Texas
Tennessee.
Versus Clemson. That's different.
Ohio State versus Tennessee, 42-17. Wow. We really have to protect the sanctity of the first round of the playoffs.
You want to watch James Madison? Who has James Madison played this year?
By the way, but no, it's not about that.
Who's Tulane played this year?
It's not about that. It's about the first round of the playoffs already are prone to blowouts anyways. Why does it make a difference whether it's James Madison or Tennessee?
Because I don't want to watch James Madison.
Why?
Because they don't have a chance. Tennessee might have been 14-point underdogs. They have a chance. It's a real program.
Who says Notre Dame had a chance? Notre Dame has three losses in the season?
Notre Dame's got a
chance. Why? Because they're Notre Dame.
Yes,
you're just being a brand snob.
Yes, that's the point.
We finally have.
That's the point. They have better players. They have better recruited players.
The whole point of March is.
You think James Madison can go toe-to-toe with Notre Dame's players?
The whole point of March is you get Cinderella stories. So before we even get a chance to get Cinderella stories, we're going to wipe them off the face of the planet because I don't want to watch Notre Dame. You're going to watch the games, and if you don't, you weren't going to watch them anyways.
I've been always consistent with this. I don't like the Cinderella stories even in March Madness.
And you're part of the problem.
You get to the Elite Eight. I don't want Belmont in my Elite Eight.
Yeah, and
you belong in the first round. You don't belong in the Elite Eight. Yes, I want the Blue Bloods. I want the big programs. I want them there. Yes, brand snob, call it whatever you want. That's exactly what I want. I want to feel like when I put on Notre Dame versus Ole Miss, I don't know who's going to win that game, and each team has a chance. I don't feel that way with Ole Miss and Tulane, and when we watched that game earlier in the year, it was won by 35 points by Ole Miss.
The Peterlin Pass.
Tim Tebow weighs in on Shador Sanders and the Noise in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.